Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we are remembering Darren Patrick.
Yeah, this podcast is going to take a little different angle and tone from what we sometimes do. We just want to sort of tell some stories and remember a guy who recently passed away. Some of you may not know, Darren Patrick was a pastor in St. Louis, founder of the Journey Church, had been, I guess you'd call it demoted or defrocked or whatever, stepped out of ministry at that church, disciplined out of ministry at that church, and had the beginnings of a restoration and gone through a process. And so there was a lot in his story as a leader. But he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound a few weeks ago at age 49. He was a key part of the Acts 29 church planting network since its very beginnings. And so we thought, hey, there's going to be a lot. We're in a weird season where, like, you can't even have a memorial service for someone right now because of all the COVID restrictions. And so there's just probably an opportunity for us to tell some stories and remember a man's contribution and influence, hopefully in ways that will encourage you as a listener, and just in ways that's sort of fun to sometimes sit around and hear people tell stories that you didn't have any part of and weren't in, but they're fun stories to tell. So that's what we wanted to do with this particular podcast. Darren was a sort of a larger-than-life figure, a real public figure and leader. And his fall was sort of real public, and his restoration, I think, was appropriately public. And so there was some, having been in a network where we've had some falls of leaders that have been really sort of discouraging and damaging, it was encouraging to see someone trying to walk through a process of restoration in a way that that was meaningful and appropriate. And so there's a lot of sadness related to Darren's passing, and wanted to have some time to talk about that and tell some stories. I had a long personal history with Darren. The very first church planting assessment I did with Acts 29 in 2006 was at the Journey. So I drove to St. Louis, my wife and I, and that's where we did our church planting assessment. And it was in the earlier days of the Journey when the whole thing was growing really fast and sort of an exciting season in church planting in general. So that was where I first met Darren, and we'd been sort of serving together for 14 years in the network. I would consider him a friend. He would consider me a friend. I'm interested in sort of getting a chance to tell some of the fun stories that were that made him a little bit of who he was. What do you guys remember about your interactions or the first times you might have encountered Darren?
One of my first introductions to Acts 29 and kind of like my gateway drug to finding Coram Deo was the the old Acts 29 boot camp podcast. Yeah. I would always go find Mark Driscoll's talks and Darren Patrick's talks, because those guys are the ones that like capture me the most with their stories and with their kind of psyching people up about church planting. And so that was one of my first memories of just listening to Darren. I didn't know Darren, but appreciated his work early on in Acts 29, and specifically his book, The Dude's Guide to Manliness. That was a pivotal book in my young parenting, having sons, having some father issues that I was working out myself, and just being able to dive into his story, dive into his writing, and with some other guys in our church, and apply his knowledge to their lives into mine as we were figuring out what does it look like to be a man of God and a father and a husband and all those different avenues of life. And yeah, just appreciated that. And also, like what you said, Bob, his redemption, his way of kind of coming back into the fold of things as he was working out of the Journey and into his other church and his other ministry, was just refreshing to see a leader who was imperfect, who made some mistakes, but was humble enough to work through those things and kind of come out on the other side of it. It was refreshing to see that.
So I didn't know Darren personally either, but a lot of one degree of separation. So Bob, you were friends with him. The lead pastor of the church we were part of in Arlington was friends with him, and even the transition from that church moving from Sovereign Grace to Acts 29 largely was Darren having lots and lots of conversations with Eric Simmons, the lead pastor there. And so he was very influential kind of in that and our church's shift there. We had a couple at First City in the first couple of years before they moved that were met at the Journey. We're in St. Louis at the Journey, got married. Darren actually did premarital with them. So they were very close. He was very instrumental in the wife coming to Christ. So they very, very spoke very, very highly of him and very influenced and wonderful couple. So the fruit of Darren's ministry was very evident in their life. But for me personally, I think the most direct impact he had on me was in 2011. So this was about a year before, almost a year exactly before I started in full-time ministry as an intern. I went to a Sovereign Grace church planting conference with the pastors of our church, and I was, you know, just working in the marketplace, but was feeling a draw towards ministry, was strongly considering going to seminary. So this is the Lord was really just stirring a bunch of my heart. And he gave a talk at that conference that was very formative for me. I don't remember a lot of the details. I couldn't even really tell you the text, but the things that really impressed me were one, just the mission of Christ, the mission of making disciples and seeing churches planted was just such a compelling thing. Like, I would love to give my life to that. Mm-hmm. But then also the call of like, hey, this is what it means to be a godly man. Like, to plant healthy churches, we need healthy men. And just that vision of being a godly man was again compelling, and that talk really built my faith, really put some gas in the fire for me to just continue to process not only ministry but church planting. So he's definitely part of the story that carried me along to planting a church and being in full time ministry.
He wrote that book, Church Planter, didn't he?
Yeah, and his book, yeah. I still think it's a gold standard.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I got a couple of stories in 2010. Bob, you, or maybe it was 2009 when you emailed me and asked me to consider coming to Coramdale. And then in 2010, I did come to Coramdale officially in April. But prior to that, one of the things that we did was I jumped on board with a boot camp in Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky.
Which I think, having gone to some boot camps after that, was probably the best boot camp.
It was definitely the best.
This is the best boot camp ever. I mean, like, of course, it was my first one, so it was my gateway drug, like you're saying, mm-hmm. Mike. But, I mean, Chandler gave a talk, Bob, you gave a talk, Darren Patrick gave a talk, Collie gave a talk. It, basically, like, everybody but Driscoll was at that boot camp. And I remember thinking, like, wow, I don't know what I got to do to be around these kinds of men, this type of man again. But there's some rawness here. There's some love for Jesus here. There's this drive for church planting. Maybe that youthfulness that was still there attracted me there. And then Mike, you mentioned the Dude's Guide to Manhood book. I remember I did a lot of redemption group work with the Journey in probably 2011, 12, 13, somewhere in there, where we were doing it like twice a year together. And one time I went down there and spoke 9 times. It was like a Friday, Saturday deal, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday deal. And we stayed Saturday night, went to church on Sunday. And this was right when that book was coming out, the Dude's Guide to Manhood. And I walked up to the sound booth, Darren was getting mic'd up, and I just wanted to do kind of the New Testament, you know, from one church to another, hey, you know, that greeting, and wasn't looking for time or anything. And I just said, hey, Darren, what's up? I'm Dusty White. I'm at Coramdale Church. And right away, it's, you know, the dude's getting ready to preach. And not everybody on this podcast knows what that's like, but when you're getting ready to preach, the last thing you want to do is have small talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did right there. He just engaged me right away. He was like, man, love Coramdale, love what you guys are doing, love Bob, love Lee, and just super warm and inviting right away. And that book was coming out, and he grabbed this obnoxiously yellow t-shirt,
yeah,
and was like, dude, you look just like the guy on the cover of this book, which was true. Like, my glasses at the time,
the mustache,
my oversized beard at the time, and he was like, here, you need this shirt. And it was a little bit of a PR stunt, I think, but it was it, like, he just, it was literally like,
let me give you some time right now. The church planner book that you mentioned, in there, he references praying this certain prayer with his son. And I was like, file that. That's a great idea. And now I've written probably 10 to 12 of those myself. Me and my kids pray those. And it's totally an idea I just ripped out of that book. Some of the phraseology is even the same.
And I ripped it off from you.
Yeah. And there's tons of people in our church that use these prayers. Yeah. And, you know, this is the thing that people always want me to write a book about, or those things. I'm like, well, that idea came from somewhere and there's nothing new under the sun. Probably most significantly, Justin and I went down and were with Rich Plass and Jim Cofield, and Darren and Amy were there at the same time. And so they were doing some Enneagram training that we were doing. And again, just like super warm, super encouraging right away. And this was in the middle of Bob, what you mentioned, kind of this forced sabbatical moment. But just his personality was really warm and inviting. And again, obviously he had some complexities, but you were drawn in pretty quickly by who he was.
Darren was a larger than life personality. That was probably his biggest strength and maybe his biggest weakness. But he could just pull you in, and he had a lot of charisma, a lot of, he just had that sort of warm sense of offering himself. He probably overextended himself sometimes to a lot of people who, I think the danger of sort of that celebrity platform is there's a lot of people who like want something from you, and you know, that doesn't always get reciprocated. But same thing for me, the first time I ever spoke at an X-Y-9 event was in 2007 or eight at The Journey. And so Darren sort of gave me the microphone, for the first opportunity I ever got to sort of, coach and teach some church planters. And, man, that was a huge deal and a huge moment. And at the same time that he did that, he just said, hey, you, anything I can do for you, like, I'm here. You let me know what you need, how I can encourage you, how I can serve you. And, so I'm weird, cause I realize that when people say that, especially pastors that have a large platform, there's a lot of people that want to take them up on that, you know? Yeah. And so they're always getting asked. So I'm the guy that like probably doesn't ask and just like kind of hang around and I'll call you if I need you kind of a guy. But I remember going back to St. Louis at some point, I think it was 2009. It was when we were getting ready to plant Providence Church and trying to think through some church planting things. Probably when we were starting to talk to you, Dusty, about stepping in at Coram Deo. And so we were going to St. Louis, and I just texted Darren. I was like, hey man, can I get like an hour with you sometime in the next few days? I know you got a lot going on, but let's hang out. And he called me. He's like, hey man, I'd love to hang out. I got to go to the doctor. You just want to jump in and go with me and just ride along? He's like, that's what I got free. So I was like, sure, let's do it. So he takes me to lunch. We eat lunch in like 20 minutes. It was like a fast lunch. He was like, let's go get some food. So we ate lunch fast, and then we like jump in his Jeep and we go to the doctor. And this is the funny thing I remember about the story. I didn't understand why we were going to the doctor. And I thought like, why are you going to the doctor in the middle of a Wednesday when there's like a church planting conference? Well, the deal was he had gotten bitten by a poisonous spider on his calf and had a MRSA staph infection. Like the bite had gotten infected and it basically like was eating away the flesh on his calf. And so he had this doctor that had to basically like intervene, cut away some of the, like, it was just this nasty like wound. But so he had to go to the doctor like every 2 days to get the wound cleaned out and make sure there was no more infection and all this. So I was like sitting next to him while this doctor like opens up this huge spider bite wound in his calf and is like talking to him about the MRSA staph infection. And it was just the most, I was just like, this is a really random weird experience that I'm with you at your doctor while you're getting your weird spider bite
while we're running a conference.
Yeah. Taken care of. So that was just the kind of person Darren was. He's like, hey man, I'm available to you. I got this thing. Why don't you jump in and go along with me? His wife, Amy, on Twitter, a couple days after he passed away, called Darren a dynamic force of nature, which is how I experienced him. He's just a larger than, he's just like dynamic. Where he's going, something is happening, and he's going to sort of take charge of something and lead something. So there are two things Darren has done that sort of have legacy in Coram Deo. One is back in 2010 or 11, Acts 29 was going through one of its many identity crises where it was trying to figure out, how are we going to grow? Acts 29 was growing a lot. And there was all this talk about, are we, you know, it was back when everybody was doing multi-site. And so the question was like, how's Acts 29 going to think about multi-site? And then you had the Soma model, in Acts 29, which was very different. It was very like, you know, local house churchy kind of things. And so they had these two things. Some churches are going multi-site and trying to do five locations, and some guys are going real Soma style missional community. And that was sort of fragmenting Acts 29 a little bit. So we went through this season of like, how do we keep this whole thing together? And what they decided for like a minute and a half was, we're going to be a network of networks, and the networks are going to be affinity based. So it's like, if you like Soma, you can affiliate with that. If you like what the guys at Sojourn are doing, you can affiliate with that. And you know, there's all these little affinity networks. So Darren decides to start this little affinity thing that was basically just like Midwest city leaders. And he didn't really have a definition for it. Just like guys I knew who were in the Midwest who were like city leader guys. And so he invited me into that. He invited Kevin Cawley into that. There was a bunch of leaders from places like Chicago and Denver and all through the Midwest. And it was just sort of this, like, literally the sticking power was whoever Darren wanted to pull into that was kind of we joked about, like, this is like the Darren affinity. We're like, what is it that unites us in this room? I don't know. We just all know Darren somehow. But he kept that thing together for probably 2 years. And the deal was we would meet every 6 months in a pool. We went to Chicago or Memphis or St. Louis, and we'd gather for like a day and a half to 2 days. And it was like really intense sort of sharing the wealth of just like, hey, talk about how you're thinking about movement in your city. How you thinking about church planting? How are you trying to affect, thinking about the poor in your city? Like, just let's learn from each other. And man, some of the best learning I ever got as a leader was just being in a room with guys like John Bryson and John Dennis and, guys who were just learning how to lead their cities really well and just getting to sort of take in from their wisdom. It was a lot of fun, but that was one of those things, like the only reason I was in the room is just because Darren had my cell phone number and he wanted to pull me into that. And, you know, Omaha was never a host city because there was cooler places to go.
Flyover.
Why would you
flyover
go there when you go to Houston? Typical. Or you can go to Memphis, you know?
This is a really weird definition of Midwest.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was the Midwest was like a whatever Darren.
Anything east of Nevada.
Pretty much.
So there's another day. Here's my other story. Oh, the other day was the other way he affected Coram Deo was I told this story a long time ago, but we were in an elevator. I don't remember where we were. I think we were in Vail at an Acts 29 pastor's retreat. Amy and Darren and Lee and I get in the elevator. We're going up to the fifth floor. On the elevator ride, out of nowhere, we had just had dinner and we're going to something. He just turns and goes, hey, have you ever thought about merging with CORE? CORE was the other Acts 29 church in Omaha. And I was like, I mean, what was funny about that was I had had that thought a few months before and had started praying a little bit about it and wasn't sure what to do with it or if that was something the Lord wanted us to do. And I don't know what I said. I said something like, I mean, I've thought about it once or twice. And he goes, man, I think you guys should do that. That just seems like you have so much more horsepower in Omaha for church planting if you guys did that. I think you should make it happen.
Ding!
It was just one of those, like, the Lord really used that to sort of set into motion this church merger back in 2011 that was both a beautiful thing and a messy thing all at the same time, and has really marked our story as leaders, Dusty, and our church's story as well. So that whole idea sort of got lit on fire because Darren just said, have you ever thought about that? I'm not sure. If I had to do it over again, I might have gone, yeah, I thought about that. I don't think we should do it. You know, but really, as I look back, and I think that was the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit used Darren to set that thing in motion. The other funny story I have is I was on a day of solitude in 2013 or 14. Darren calls me. Darren and I would text a lot, but he'd never called me unless there was a reason for the call. You know, he's not just like calling to chat.
He didn't have the time for that.
So he calls me. I answer the phone. Like, hey, man, I'm on a day of solitude. He's like, hey, we need to talk. And I was like, all right, let's go. And he was fired up because we at that time were talking to a guy who worked at the Journey.
About
coming back and working at Coram Deo. And as a guy who had roots in Omaha and his family was here. And like, there was every reason why it made a ton of sense for us to be talking to him. And he wanted to move. And so, you know, it was one of those things I'd never thought about. I just reached out to him. I was like, hey, I heard you might be moving back to Omaha. And he was like, yeah. And so we had started having this conversation about what would it look like for you to come to work at Coram Deo. But I hadn't talked to Darren about that. So I was basically like, it felt to him like I was poaching a guy off his staff team. And it was this phone call. He was like hot. He was angry. And he's like, look, man, I love you, but don't ever call somebody on my staff without telling me that you're going to do that. That's just like a professional courtesy. Like, this is just what pastors do. You just let me know, hey, man, I'm going to talk to this guy. And I was like, hey,
good point.
A, I'm sorry. Didn't even think about that. And B, thanks. Like, that's actually good for me to know that there's like a professional courtesy here of like how this normally works in churches that I am not following. And that's helpful for me to know as a leader. So it was really cool because what was nice about it was our relationship was such that it didn't offend me that he was upset about that. But like, as soon as I acknowledged like, hey man, I didn't do that on purpose. And I appreciate you saying that, 'cause I didn't even think about it. It was just like conversation over. Like, there was, that was all we needed to do, was he needed to clear the air of like, hey, I need to tell you this for the sake of, you know, you growing as a leader and for the sake of like our relationship, I just need you to know this kind of bothered me. And, it was an interesting, I was like, all right, cool. Hung the phone up and,
back to solitude,
back to my day of solitude. You know, Darren also, when we went through on the back end of the merger, Dusty, we had a lot of chaos. And I mean, you know, there was reasons why the merger was hard for lots of people. Just, you know, mm-hmm. one church is going away. It's being assimilated into another church. People feel that all kinds of different ways. And there's just lots of sort of emotional and relational and organizational chaos that brought into the equation. You were there too, Mike. So, you know, all that. I still remember being on an Acts 29 retreat in Newport Beach, and just asking Darren and Amy, hey, would you guys just have breakfast with us? My wife and I, Lee and I, were just like, hey, can we just like, I don't even know what we need to ask. We just sort of need somebody who knows what it's like to go through some crap. And so, again, like
right away,
we sat down, had breakfast, and yeah. And man, it was just like so cool to have a couple that's like, hey, we know what that feels like. We know what it feels like when people are mad at you and when they're upset with you and when things haven't gone like they expected and when you're the problem. And so man, it was just really encouraging to have them sit and spend some time with us and encourage us. And it was meaningful for my wife to have Amy there to speak into it from her perspective as a pastor's wife. And so there were those significant moments in my story and in Coram Deo's story where Darren and Amy have been sort of a real grounding force and a real meaningful sort of coach, older brother kind of figure. It was a huge blessing to have them serve that role and be as available and accessible and open as they were about their lives.
It sounds like, you know, when God's grace is present in a man, in his strengths or in his failings, like the grace of God is what, you know, brings that saintliness, that refined, image of Christ kind of just coming to the surface. You know, you said bearing fruit earlier, that you said that phrase, and it just seemed like the Spirit of God was bearing fruit in Darren's life, even in his missteps.
Yeah.
You know,
I, as a fellow leader, mm-hmm. yeah, I certainly experienced God's grace to me through some of the ways Darren cared for me, encouraged me, and spoke in my life at meaningful moments. Mm-hmm. But I realized that, you know, that was also from a distance and yeah. leader to leader, you know? Yeah. And so there's just a certain way that works that, in other relationships, it may not have been the same way.
Yeah.
As I think about how to end this podcast, I'm thinking about a couple things. One is obviously the reality that Darren died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding that whole event still. And I'm sure things may come out in the future that bring more clarity to all that happened. I don't know if we'll ever have full clarity on what happened, but there's a lot of questions there that still remain. And so there's an unfinished story here, right? Mm-hmm. It's not as sort of tidy as some stories that feel like, oh, that story sort of had a different kind of conclusion to it. And so I want to acknowledge that even as we talk about this, that what I'm aiming at in this podcast is some sort of eulogy, some sort of saying good and noble and encouraging things about a person who had an impact on my life, while not erasing or glossing over the fact that there were flaws in that person. I think mm-hmm. that's been clear. So again, the thing I love about Darren's story is the flaws were so out there for everybody to know and read about that I want to make sure that that's not the only story that people hear or tell, because there's a lot of, like, Acts 29 in the past 10 years has had some unhealthy leaders and unhealthy stories, but also sort of been kicked around by discernment bloggers and everybody on the internet who wants to pick a bone with, you know, people that are headstrong. And Acts 29's weakness always and probably still was that it was young and a little bit brash, and that was who the leaders were. They were guys in their early 30s who were kind of big personalities and probably lacked a certain amount of life maturity and wisdom, but who, man, were passionate about the kingdom of God and loved Jesus and wanted to see churches planted. And so that spirit it has sometimes led to an over-criticism of those leaders, a sense of, man, those guys were so flawed, and they were, you know, they were certainly flawed. But I want to say that there's in this person's story, this complicated man who's even his end is a little bit complicated and mysterious. There were beautiful evidences of the way God used him in his kingdom work that need to be told, and stories that need to be shared, and memories that need to be honored, and ways that even not in a tight inner circle kind of a way, but in a leader to leader, pastors trying to serve cities and lead churches kind of a way, that Darren impacted and influenced me, that I just want those on the record. I kind of see this as a chance to say, let's put this stuff on the record and let me say, hey, this guy was a brother to me. He was a friend to me. He was an influencer in my life and in our church's life. And I want that to be on the record so that people can celebrate the good and the beauty of that while not glossing over some of the things that might rightly need to not be glossed over on the negative side. Mm-hmm.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We love to hear from our listeners, so send us your thoughts, questions, or future podcast topic ideas to podcast@cdomaha.com. And we thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation.